Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, May 21st, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 157 and we're down at paragraph 6. And it begins with, "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, and ends with, in that particular paragraph, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." Today's readers are the 12 steps, Laura R., the 12 traditions, Liz T. Reading the text and support this morning is Robin P., Ellen D., Brandy M., newcomer greeter, sponsor info, Christina K., and announcements, Leslie M. And the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 o'clock meeting, that would be Thursday, May 20th, 2020, 14660. 14,660 is the share ID number for that one. And today, 7 a.m., we had a meeting already. Thursday, 5/21/2020, 14666. Share ID number, 14,666. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Laura R., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. I will now ask Liz T. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for the opportunity, Tess.
Thank you, Liz T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Please take note here, this is a star 1 function on your keypad only for muting purposes to keep the line and the recording nice and clear. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You, on page 157, paragraph 6. And that begins with, "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, and ends with, "Damn little to laugh about that I can see." And what I would like to do is invite Robin P. to please read that paragraph and then describe her experience, strength, and hope before we open up to the rest of the fellowship. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks so much. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. My name's Robin P. "Yes, that's me," said the sick man, "the very image. You fellows know your stuff all right, but I don't see what good it will do. You fellows are somebody. I was once, but I'm a nobody now. From what you tell me, I know more than ever I can't stop." At this, both the visitors burst into a laugh. Said the future fellow anonymous, "Damn little laugh about that I can see." Well, when I was 12, stepped into the fellowship, I really could see that I wanted what they had, but I could also see that I felt like I was the one person it wasn't going to work for. And I had so much denial when I first came to the program. I, quote, forgot that I had been bulimic and anorexic as well as being a compulsive overeater. It was too much for me to even comprehend. And God in his mercy let me just take it a step at a time. And within the first month, I said, "Hey, you know what else?" And it was just, I had so much shame that I it was as if I was protecting myself or something from knowing how deep the addiction had gone with me. And I did remember feeling like that I was the one person who it wasn't going to work for, and that these people seemed so happy. And I didn't know how they were so happy and I was so unhappy, and how I could ever bridge that gap. And, you know, my life in recovery is so much better than any moment that I ever had in the disease. You know, and I had some miraculous things happen to me when I was in the disease. You know, I started on Broadway and all these things. But when I got into recovery, it was a completely different experience. And that's how my life is today. I have tools. I have solutions. I have steps. My dog, Hope, is agreeing with me. And I have so many tools that I can use to help me no matter what happens so that I can be happy, joyous, and free. And I was in so much incomprehensible misery that I never could imagine that I could live a life this way and have choices with all things in my life, with all aspects in my life. And it just gave me the pathway to peace. So God bless everybody in your recoveries. I really pray that we all have a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much, Mel.
Thank you, Robin P. Now's the time to open up for the remainder of the group here to be able to comment on paragraph 6, page 157 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that if you've shared in the last 2 days, we ask that you would step back, please. And then I would like to take the names and first initial last names of the first six people.
Christina J.
Paul L.
Mo H.
Paul
Christina
L.
J. Paul L. Mo H.
Mark Brigham.
Mark, what was your last initial?
Dion R.
Hi, Dion.
A.
Gotcha.
Liz T.
Natalie
M.
Let's go with that. We'll get you next, Natalie. Okay, so let's go with Christina J., Paul L., Mo H., Mark, Dion R., and Liz T. Good morning again, Christina.
Good morning, Mel. Thank you for your service. Please time me because I don't have my clock, but grateful to be here today from Washington State. But I don't see what good it'll do. From what you tell me, I know more than ever I can't stop. This is the perfect place to be in step one. They laughed, damn little to laugh about that I can see. And, you know, I've been listening to the meetings in this section for quite some time. And this time through, I've had such deep compassion for this guy. He's a goner. He's none too promising. He's got acute poisoning. He's ready, but is he ready? I had a wonderful sponsor that would ask me over and over as I relapsed, are you done? Are you done? And I couldn't say yes. I mean, I did say yes, but I was scared. Like he said in previous paragraph, I'm afraid I can't go out the door. I don't understand it. So what it is it's powerless. I'm powerless over this. Now, what does that mean? It means that I can't go out. I can't do it. I know more than ever that I can't stop. Damn little to laugh about that I can see. And it takes me back to page 16. I'm on edition 3. There's a vast amount, it's the second to last paragraph. However, there is a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but underneath there's a deadly earnestness. Deadly. This disease kills. And until a person, me, could get the powerlessness, the hopelessness that I cannot stop without working this program of action, like working it every day, not letting the disease voice tell me, oh, it's okay, you don't have to do it today. You can make it through. You've got to get through the day. Just go get some food so you can make through the day. And that little voice that puts me as deer in the headlights, autopilot numb, I'm in the blackout, I'm already in the food before I can get out the door. I'm a ravenous shark who smells blood. What is that mental state? There is no mental state before the first drink, as far as I'm concerned. There's just no mental state. I'm just going. So there's no hope except when we get to this point, like this guy in this bed. He's nobody. I'm a nobody now. And that's it. I'm a nobody. My ego's down. Thank you for letting me share it. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Next up is Paul L. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Yes, hi, this is
Paul L. from Florida. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Are you the one with the bird?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm actually working outside. I love listening to this group while I'm working, and I figured I should probably share. I'm still new, and I like where the reader, you know, the paragraph is exactly where I'm at right now. I don't have recovery. I'm not happy, joyous, and free. I wake up every day miserable and wondering when I'm going to get it. But I have to, you know, listening. I have to force myself to have hope and faith by listening to you guys share and by, like, with the paragraph where these two guys who recovered and the third guy is like, yeah, whatever. And I feel like that. Like, it's not going to work for me for some reason. And But I haven't given up, and I'm on step three, and I'm still going through. I'm about to start my fourth and fifth step on Sunday. And but I'm, you know, I'm just going to keep coming back. I don't, you know, all the other doors are shut. You know, I don't have any more diets that work. I don't, you know, I've lost weight before and gained it. I just don't like how I feel. And my hope is that I just, you know, at some point it clicks, and the lady that's taking me through the steps says it will. And I'm just going to keep trying. You know, this is coming back from the powerful when I have all kinds of mental blank spots. And so I'm just sorry for rambling on. That's just where I'm at. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Paul L. Mo H., you're up next for three, and then Mark will follow you.
Okay. Good morning, Mel. Thank you very much for your service. And my name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. Yes, that's me, said the sick man. Sick is a good word for me to look at. I didn't consider myself sick, so I didn't say, yes, that's me. I have been in the room since 1989, and I never identified in until I came onto this line. Did I start hearing people say, identify in, identify with, identify in. Plus, we were not studying the big book. But said the sick man, the very image, you fellows know your stuff, but I don't see what good it'll do me. So, yeah, I identified out, and this paragraph is referring to the one that we talked about yesterday, was about the mental obsession that precedes the first bite. No one taught me that until somebody had me pick up this big book and start studying it. I heard about it, but I didn't understand it. Because it wasn't me. I wasn't as bad as you guys were. I didn't have that much weight to lose. My life wasn't insane, so I think. But boy, get me into the food. Yes, my life was insane, but I didn't want to acknowledge that. And the other thing here is, I know more than ever I can't stop. Well, I didn't know that. Nobody shared that with me, that once you start, you can't stop. And I can't stop myself from starting, which it says in the big book. But I until my last debacle, which Roseanne says in her book, Beyond My Wildest Dreams, never forget your last binge. Never forget it, because there, that one, I knew I couldn't stop. For 2.5 months, I couldn't stop. And I knew better then. Then I had the knowledge. So I am so grateful for studying this book line by line, picking it apart. I just get so excited when we just have like two sentences to pick apart, and there's so many different shares on it, and it just enriches my life, enriches my soul. So I think that's all I have to say, and I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Mo. That's Mo H. Next up is Mark. Mark, what's the first initial of your last name? And then Dion will follow you.
D. D as in David.
D like David. Okay, great. Thanks. Your 3 minutes is starting now.
Okay. Well, I'm just letting everybody know I'm from Vero Beach, and I am a newbie. I'm just trying to navigate my way through, and actually trying to. It took me, by the time I found the paragraph that you guys were reading, it was already passed, and I'm just trying to figure things out. And I know this is probably the right place for me. I have the same issues that everyone's discussing, and I know that I can't do it. I can't do it alone, and that's pretty much really all I have to say. I heard Robin. I think Robin P was also from Vero Beach, so I don't know if she's a sponsor or she's just in the same boat as I am. But that's about it. I'm gonna pass here and just stay and listen. And I thank everybody.
Thank you so much, Mark D. Stick around if you haven't given your number at the end, and we'll see if we can get you some connections. Let's go with Dion R. next, and then Liz T. will follow you. Then we'll open it up for additional comments on that page 157, paragraph 6.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Dion.
Good morning. Good morning, Mel. This is Dion and everyone else. Always anonymous. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. My voice haven't caught up with my rest of me yet, but I'm awake. Just want to be reminded, reading this chapter, oh, my God, just like so many shared just this few minutes ago, I'm hearing is, you know, that part that says, that's me, the sick, and the big book describes, the sick man says, you know, the identification in. That's priceless. It just helps me to remind me of when God, my higher power, gave me this program to identify when it, and the doors just keep opening to more and more. And I like that part when the sick man says, damn little to laugh at that. When I first went to 12 steps, the first thing I thought, what the heck is they laughing about? But then somebody would gently put their hand on my shoulder and said, no, we identify. We're not laughing at you. We're laughing at with you. And you're reminding us of where we were and where we come from and just being reminded of through the program of how far the God of my understanding has brought me from an attitude of not knowing it all, just saying, hey, I need help. That's humble. You know, it's humble. There's so much I can say, but I'm not. I just wanted to tune in, just guys, and let you know. I identify. I still identify to this day. Just, you know, sending my mom and her homecoming yesterday. And, I mean, it was priceless. I feel my feelings. You guys just surround me with love. I felt it, and some showed up just being there and just saying, hey, we got you. That's priceless, you know, and I can make it through anything and still ready to grow and recover and thank my God of my understanding and all my people in and out of the program for what I taught. Some taught me what how to do to cover and be happy, joyous, and free, and some showed me what not to do. And with that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Dion. So next up, to finish this lineup, would be Liz T., and then we'll open it up again. Liz T., your 3 minutes. Star one, Liz T. Well, in the interest of time, let's see if we can't open it up for additional shares, and we'll check on Liz a little bit later. If you'd like to share on page 57, paragraph 6, we'd like to hear from you. I'll take the first six people, please. First name, first initial, last name.
Karen K.
C-T. I hear who, K? Who, K?
Karen K.
Karen K. Okay, and I heard C-T, I think, right?
Yes, that's correct. C-T, my last initial, T.
Okay, great, thanks.
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Natalie M.
Natalie M.
Dorita P.
Dorita P.
Natalie L.
Natalie L.
Ronnie
I just
B.
wanted to remind folks, although I think I got a lineup for just right now, Ronnie. Let's see how time goes. Although we do value your experience, we do ask that you do limit your share, please, to every third day. And if any of you that have signed up today have shared within the last 2 days, please consider stepping back. I didn't mention that before I send out the invitation. We have, let's see, well over 200 people on the line and only 15 spots for people to share. So you want to share the space, please. We're going to start out this lineup with Karen K, and then we'll move then to C.T.
Hi, this is Karen Kay from sunny Arizona. And can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, we'll let you know. We'll let you know. You keep talking, and if we don't hear you, we'll let you know, okay?
Thank you. I really identify. I was doing so well, and I'm with my talking to my sponsor at least three times a week right now and really working. And the other day I had something happen, and a few things happened all in one day, and I ended up going out, and I just felt so worthless. And I love this program, and I'm, you know, this meeting, and I listen to it every day. And my sponsor was kind when I told her that I went out, but I still have problems. And I identify with this paragraph that says, you know, I'm nobody. I can't, you know, you guys are laughing about it, but I'm not getting it. And I am getting it most of the time. But as she says, I'm putting my binge food as my God periodically before God. And also one of the things that she said is that it's the first thing. It's the first thought. What's your second thought? You know, the first thought can get you in trouble. Do you go to God? And I still have a problem going to God, making that second thought when my stupid, not stupid, but my diseased brain thinks I have to have sugar for a problem. And I just needed to talk and share that because I really can relate to this quote-unquote sick man because I'm a sick woman. And I thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Karen Kay. CT, it's your turn for 3 minutes. And then let's see, Michelle, Jay will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for your service. I'm CT. I'm in Newport Beach, California. I'm a compulsive eater. And I read this paragraph last night because I walk in the morning and I wanted to read it ahead of time so that I could get what y'all are talking about. And it is such a powerful paragraph for me. The Big Book is just like that. I read that book and I go, oh my gosh, that's me. Oh my gosh, that's me. And I think it's on 21 where it talks about different levels. It talks many times in the book about, you know, the moderate drinker, the hard drinker, the heavy drinker, and the real alcoholic. And at one place it talks about how, and this is me, how many areas of my life I am good at, and work is good, family is good, my balance is good. I'm good in all areas except when it comes to food. And I love that with the less leisure. The second thought, because I have a struggle with, do I pray before each meal? Do I bring God into my food plans? That sort of thing. And I have just hardened, or I don't know what, that sounds pretty drastic, hardened. I've just cleaned up my abstinence a little bit more this week. I did a fifth step, and after doing many of them, I realize that when I'm looking at my character defects, I'm pretty hard on myself. And so I tend to do that after a fifth step. And my sponsor gave me some really hard directions. And I believe that they're all God-related, which is what I think this program's all about, is to say loving things about myself instead of the critical things about myself. And that's kind of 6 and 7. And, you know, let God have this. But, man, I've been late to you guys on this phone line so much. I'm so grateful for this phone line. And I'm just like you. And that is just that. It's such a freedom from going from I am worthless, I am nothing, to, oh, my gosh, I'm just like you. What a beautiful place to be. Have a wonderful day. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, CTT. Next up is Michelle J., and then Natalie M. will follow you, Michelle.
Good morning, all of you. Thank you so very much. Michelle J., calling in from Arkansas, recovered for today by the grace of God. I remember like it was yesterday, you guys, like it was yesterday, a year and a half, when I realized how intensely sick I was. And someone gave me a book, and it said something about OA, and I didn't even know what OA stood for. And I went online and found a meeting in town and went, and there really wasn't recovery. There wasn't a big book, but they had this list. And so I went to this bookstore, and I bought everything from Al-Anon to the big book to Bill's story, to you name it. I had the books. And for a few months, I tried working it by myself, and I got up to step four and freaked out. And, you know, it was horrible. I remember what it was like to have the books and know that there were people out there somewhere. But the turning point was when I found Vision, and it was through the grace of God that someone turned me on to Vision. And in Vision, I got a sponsor, and that sponsor taught me immediately that abstinence was a choice, and then that's what I did before the process of the 12 steps. And then this person, and listening to Vision on a daily basis and going through the process, going through the 12 steps, things started changing. I started getting it. I started understanding it. It didn't take long, but I needed someone in a fellowship to lead me and guide me and help me. Otherwise, I got really confused. Great speakers, great Sunday editions. I am telling you, the promises are out there for you, and they are for me. And I just keenly remember, and my heart just goes out to everybody, because I know what that feels like. It was like it was yesterday. But keep in the program, find abstinence. You will find recovery in the program of 12 steps, and get you a good sponsor. And we're going to do this all together. And together we can be victorious. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Natalie M., you're up next, and then Dorita P. will follow.
Hi, this is Natalie from California. Thanks for your service, Melanie, and thanks to everyone who shared. When I read that part that says, I'm nobody, and I was somebody, but I'm nobody, it reminds me of the Emily Dickinson poem, right? I'm nobody. Are you nobody, too? And there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'll banish us, you know. It's through working the steps that I realized by being nobody, I become somebody. When I finished the fourth step, I thought, this is it. I've arrived. I know my defects. I'm cleaning house. I've got this now. You know, I'm there. And then the next day, I woke up aware of all these other defects I hadn't even addressed in my fourth step. And I called my sponsor and I said, what is this? Now I have all these new defects, and this is never ending. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to stop eating. And she started laughing and she just said, welcome to life. You know, this is a life program, and it's one day at a time, and it'll be like more will be revealed, and it'll be like this for the rest of your life. And that's when I realized that by becoming a nobody, becoming just one of many, that I became somebody, like somebody in a 12-step program with other fellows moving along the same path toward a direction that is a way of life, and that does provide freedom and happiness and a sense of self that I never knew was possible. So thanks for everyone on the line. And everyone who's being of service, this program has changed my life. And it is one day at a time, becoming somebody within a program of many. Thanks.
Thanks, Natalie M. Dorita P., you're up next, and then Natalie will follow you. Hey, Dorita. Dorita P., star one,
hey,
please.
Okay, can I be heard now, Melanie?
Yep, we'll let you know. No problem. We're going to get you back.
Okay, so hi. My name is Dorita P. Let me take off speaker. Hi, my name is Dorita P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Cleveland, Ohio. And thank you, Melanie, for your service. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I am really grateful. I have a seat here, and I'm grateful that I was able to dial right back in. Another call came in on another phone, and instead of hanging up that phone, I hung up this phone, so I'm grateful I came right back in right on time. And then I had to hang up because, well, when I hung up, then that recording, if you guys are familiar with the recording, that says sometimes that you have to hang up and they'll call you back. So anyway, I'm here. So I'm real grateful to be here. And, yeah, I could really relate to this paragraph and, you know, the sick man. And I didn't realize, I didn't know I was a sick person. I just thought I had a little food problem or a little weight problem, but I discovered that I am a sick person. I'm sick physically and mentally and spiritually, I found out. And I love this paragraph, and I love this part where it says, at this, both the visitors burst into laugh. And, you know, they're laughing because, you know, they know that this guy is at a really, really good place. And I love it when new people call me or my sponsees express this same feeling, and I tell them, I say, oh, like, believe it or not, you're at a really good place. And they probably kind of think, this lady is crazy. But, yeah, and welcome, Mark. Welcome, Mark, and all of the other newcomers. Because if you feel desperate or feel hopeless, you're at a really good place, because I know for me, when I was at that place, I was ready to do something different because I knew that what I was doing was not working. So I was, you know, really excited to start to do something different. Now, I wasn't happy, and I, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, this program is simple. The 12 steps are very simple, but they're not easy at all. So I'm just really grateful for this program that is laid out, like Melanie said in the beginning. You know, it's laid out for us, you know, and it's precise. You know, it uses the word precise directions. So I'm just really grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dorita.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, thank you, Dorita P. So we're looking for Natalie. Is it Natalie L or not? Real sure.
Natalie L, yes. Hey,
great.
Guys. This
thanks.
Is Natalie L, recovered in Colorado. The line that sticks out to me in this paragraph is, you fellows know your stuff all right, but I don't see what good it'll do. And that was certainly my attitude when I came to program. Now, I knew a lot when I came into program, right? I knew that I had a problem. I knew that I couldn't stop. And I knew how to calorie count. I knew how to use little apps to count my macros. I knew how to throw up. I knew how to overexercise. I knew how to throw things away. I knew all the little tricks and diets and things. And I could see that this was another solution, right, this spiritual solution. But everything I had tried in the past hadn't worked, and it was really hard for me to have the faith that it would work. So it was very easy for me to come to the program and say, you know, I can see that you're advocating for something, but I just don't trust it's going to work for me because everything else I have tried, it hasn't worked for me. And I think what I was missing when I was trying all those diets and all those diet gimmicks, I was really missing the spiritual program of action. And once I started working this program and really working it, you know, not doing it as, oh, I got to finish that assignment, so I'll do it, you know, half an hour before the call. No, when I really did it and I made it a priority and I started my day with it, I really started to experience a change that I hadn't experienced with all the other things that I had tried. And so I think faith in the program develops over time, and it takes patience. It takes a lot of work, but it's definitely worth it. So, yeah, that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Natalie L. Liz T., you're up next.
Hi, this is
Hi, this is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks, Melanie, for getting me back on the line. I couldn't unmute before. So just being in this part of the book is so powerful. I've been thinking about and reflecting on the beautiful painting of the man in the bed. You know, in the bed, it appears to be, it's probably Bill Dodson, and he looks disheveled and in a little white tank top, and then we got what looks like probably Bill and Bob there sitting next to him in the bed talking to him, and they're in a suit and tie, and, you know, they've got that starry-eyed look, you know, that they've got that twinkle in their eye, working with a newcomer, and how they're talking to this new prospect here. It sounds like he's in a lucid interval, you know, he's in that, taking his first step, admitting powerlessness, admitting the insanity of that first drink that they talked about in the previous paragraph, and that mental twist that precedes the first drink or the first bite in our case. And that they were two individuals in which the problem had been solved. They had some recovery behind them already, not a lot, but, you know, enough to be able to pass it along to the next person. And they knew that without having the ability to pass it on to someone else, that their own recovery was in jeopardy. And what he says here is about, from what you tell me, I know more than ever, I can't stop. And just that admitting of powerlessness and the inability to stop once I start, and then the inability to keep from starting again once I stop. So just that insanity, the double whammy, can't start and can't stop. So, and then damn too little to laugh about that I can see. You know, just when you hear the laughter in the rooms, when you're coming in as a newcomer, just dragging yourself to those first meetings and you hear laughter and you just think, what's so damn funny, you know? And now we can be in the recovery and look back at our previous behaviors and see the insanity and be able to laugh about it. And I never thought, you know, that would be possible. And so just grateful to be here. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. Looks like time will allow for two more shares this morning. And I did take note that someone I mentioned would share after this lineup. If you would be the one that would come up first, I'd love to grab your name because I didn't note it. And then I'll take one more if you're still
Ronnie,
around. Is that Ronnie? There you go. Yeah. Ronnie, you'll be first. And then one more, please.
Hi, Melanie.
I hear Raquel first. So yeah. We'll go with that one. Cool. Okay, good. So we got Ronnie B. And then Raquel, you'll come after Ronnie.
Thank you.
There's 3 minutes. Start now, Ronnie.
Thank you. Ronnie, compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Grateful for all the service. You're mentoring me into doing more service, so I appreciate that. There's so much about, somebody else said it, I think it was Mo, about all I can get out of just a couple of lines. And sometimes that's the best way for me to learn to absorb, to actually get that absorbed through my spiritual bloodstream, you know, and to realize that it is that first bite. And how, yes, I've been granted a reprieve. I have a daily reprieve. I have, you know, I get that. But all of a sudden, that mental twist, that craziness sneaks in and says, well, Ronnie, you're coming up on 7 months again. And this is after 30 years, by the way, in and out, in and out, in and out. Well, never leaving the program, just in coming in the room, but going out to eat at the same time. And all of a sudden, that still small voice will say something like that, and I have to put it in its place. I don't have to combat it. I don't have to have an argument. I can just gently say to myself most of the time, okay, if you choose, because it's a program of choice, to pick that up, just know it could be 2 years again before you have 6+ months. And so, you know, like, it's like thinking the drink through, right? Let me think through where it's going to get me, and I can tell you where it's going to get me. I'll pick that up, and then I'll run with it, and I'll eat, and I'll feel like crap, and then I'll eat again to get over feeling like crap. So I'll get that 30 seconds of, I'm going to be okay. And so, and that's my process. You know, it's iterative. It happens over and over until I get to the surrender point. But I'll tell you, I really had to work to get this back. and I don't want to lose it at the snap of a finger. So the truth is, you know, I'm doing the best I can, and I love what it talks about with the, here's what I got. The other day, I went through a highly emotionally charged situation. At the end of the day, I talked with my sponsor, and it hit me. I said, oh, my God, I went through this today, and the thought of food never entered the equation. So I think that's one of the payoffs I get when I am willing to go through whatever it takes to get to the other side. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. Raquel E., press star 1, please, and it's your 3 minutes. Starting now.
Hi. Hello, sweet Melanie. Hi, all my friends, my family, my dear ones there. You guys don't know, you're keeping me alive these days. I so look forward to listen, and I'm in this assisted living, assisted dying place, and there's a lot of good things here, but it's a very big change, and the steady thing in my life is you guys online, and people whom I'm there. I love the program, and coming up now, if God will want me to give me His grace with more day by day reprieve, which is in the dictionary. Yeah, somebody looked it. A British man looked it up for me. Postponement of a death sentence. Whoa, I felt it yesterday, just like this person who shared before me. God bless her. I had something very difficult yesterday, something having to do with inheritance and with my late husband and his children. And I so want to be who God wants me to be, but I'm facing expenses that I did not expect. And it was a heavy situation. And I know that I would have gone for the food. And God was there, and he took it away from me in a miraculous way. I was afraid I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I have a basket of fruit sitting here like on a stand, and I covered it with a tablecloth. I shouldn't see it. I woke up, the tablecloth was there, I knew what was under it, and I didn't. I was like what the sponsor said to me once, look, Raquel, it's like this. Life in one hand, food in the other hand, and you don't clap. You deal with life, and you deal with food as two separate issues. Now, today, they allowed us already to go out, and I went home to get some summer clothes because I came here, in March 3rd, and after that, it was all closed. And I cannot tell you the tremendous sense of freedom, and I need your prayers, all of you, that I should make the decision to stay here or to go home and get help, somebody to stay with me, because I do need help. I know I cannot do it all by myself. So thank you so much for being there, and good recoveries to everybody, and God's blessings, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Raquel. And that will end the sharing part of our meeting today as we get ready to wrap up the recorded portion. Stick with us. We'll have an additional 10 minutes after recording has stopped to get newcomer information and sponsor contact info and some announcements for you. But in the meantime, what I'd like to do is ask Ellen D. to please read page 164 of our big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll get together to say the Serenity Prayer if you'd like. And then we'll go to the next section. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Melanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. And